gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY24 earnings conference call of Apcotex Industries Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to hand the conference over to Ms. Purvangi Jain from Valorem Advisors. Thank you and over to you, ma'am.
Good afternoon, everyone, and a warm welcome to you all. My name is Purvangi Jain from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Apcotex Industries Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the first quarter of the financial year 2024. Before we begin, a quick cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's con call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risk and uncertainties, which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to the management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings conference call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Now, I would like to introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and have it handed over to them for opening remarks. We have with us Mr. Abhiraj Choksi, Managing Director, and Mr. Sachin Karwa, Chief Financial Officer. Without any further delay, I request Mr. Sachin Karwa to start with his opening remarks on the financial highlights. Thank you.
Thank you, Purvangi, and good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our earnings call for the first quarter of financial year 2024. I hope you had an opportunity to review the financial statement and earnings presentation, which have been circulated and uploaded on the website and stock exchanges. First, let me brief you on the financial performance for the first quarter of financial year 2024. For Q1 FY24, the revenue from operations stood at INR 278 crore, which witnessed a decline of around 9% on year-on-year basis and increased by about 8% on quarter-on-quarter basis. EBITDA for the quarter was INR 26 crore, which declined by about 48% on year-on-year basis and decreased by about 25% on quarter-on-quarter basis, with EBITDA margin stood at around 9.2%. The net profit stood at INR 12 crore, which declined by about 64% on year-on-year basis and decreased by about 48% on quarter-on-quarter basis, with PAT margin stood at 4.36%. In Q1 FY24, on the back of new capacity commission, we witnessed our highest ever quarterly volume and export volume growth of 22% and 110% respectively on year-on-year basis, which was led by nitrile latex, carpet, and construction. In spite of 22% increase in volume, revenue from operations fell by 9% due to sharp fall in raw material prices, which led to lower price realization of finished goods. EBITDA margins were affected due to lower margins in NBR and paper binders because of pressure on demand, falling prices, and inventory losses. Furthermore, PAT margins declined due to increasing depreciation and interest costs only because of new expansion projects commissioned in March 2023. With that, I would like to open the call for question and answer session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nirav Jamodia from Anvil. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, team. So I have two questions. Sir, in your opening remarks, you mentioned that we have been able to grow our volumes by close to 110% in the export market on a YOY basis And even in our annual report, we have been saying that we want to significantly up our exports going forward. So just wanted to understand your thought process, like when we go and tap the export markets, are there customer approvals which needs to be taken from those customers to whom we are already supplying? Because what we could understand is that we are exporting close to now 45 countries. So those customers would again ask for the approvals from the newer plants which we have set up. So how those processes are, and then I can go up to the second question.
Yeah, thank you, Nirav. So it's a complicated answer, but yes, in fact, the process has to, I would not say restart from scratch, of course, not at the lab level, but customers do want to initially try out, you know, some bulk quantity and then slowly move on. So especially in our nitrile latex for gloves, where the technology of the new plant is very different from what we were making for the last 3-4 years, because we were making it in our old plant, which was not necessarily the most ideal way of making nitrile latex, because those reactors and those, you know, optimized for other products, you know, styrene butadiene latex, styrene acrylic latex, vinyl pyridine latex. So yes, the technology was a little different. So some of our customers did want to, you know, not restart, but wanted to start the offtake slowly. So starting from March itself, we started, you know, once our plant commissioned, and slowly we've moved up. Now we've completely, I'm happy to say, at least as of now, about a couple, we shut down all production of nitrile latex from the old plant. Now everything is being manufactured in the new plant.
Okay.
And obviously, because the approval process takes 3 to 6 months, typically, you know, we're slowly building up our capacity utilization. As far as our other expansion project in Taloja, where, you know, it's our current products of styrene butadiene latex, styrene acrylics, and so on, it was much quicker. I would say almost immediately, you know, customers said, you know, the technology was the same. It's just adding new reactors of similar technology. So there the site or the customer approval time is maybe even, you know, 1 or 2 months, and they're happy to start. So yes, that's the nature of the business, whether it's exports or domestic, it's similar. But I'm happy to say that this quarter, 31% of our overall sales is from export market. We are still very much an Indian company, you know, for strategic focus. However, you know, many years ago, almost, you know, 8, 10 years ago, we were only at 2 or 3% of sales were exports. So we were heavily India focused. So it was a strategic decision that over time we focus on products and geographies that would allow for strategic exports, tactical and strategic exports. And that's what we have done. And for the first time, we have crossed this 30% mark, 31% of our total revenues, almost 1/3 is to grow a little bit more and diversified. It's not only in one country. So that's another good thing, you know. So now, at least from a geographical risk perspective, we feel better about the company's current position.
Got it. So just to add here, like when customers approach us, like in terms of from the different geographies, what you mentioned, do they require some high value added products which probably they are not able to get from the existing set of vendors to whom they may be getting those products? So we have been able to, one, innovate the products, which is also visible in our R&D expenditures, which have been consistently moving up on a YOY basis. So have we developed some products where this product itself is giving us first more advantage of tapping those customers to whom earlier we were not supplying? And to add that, what you mentioned in some of our previous calls, that with this new capacities, probably our OPEX won't be going up. But with this new set of products, probably our per kg realizations can or could move up, which would ultimately flow to our EBITDA per kgs.
Yeah, look, in some cases, they, you know, we, of course, and, you know, we have certain advantages as far as product performance or product quality is concerned. In some cases, we have a geographical advantage, as I've said before. So, for example, there are a lot of our customers in Africa, the Middle East, you know, in the GCC, that are anyway importing the product from Europe. So there, in the current context, because of the high energy prices, the costs are higher, the time taken from Europe to come to some of these countries is higher. Service levels, you know, they've not been able to keep up with our kinds of service levels with the talent that we have in India. And by that, I mean technical service, helping them with the final performance of their product, visiting often, building a relationship often. So, you know, there's a combination of reasons why there is a competitive advantage. In some cases, it's not necessarily that product performance or product quality is significantly better. We have been able to develop it, but we have been able to provide other services and that are better than our competitors. So it's a combination of both.
Got it. Sir, and second question is on IPCO Build. I think one of the statements in the annual report is that we have significantly upped our sales value. We have increased our distribution network. So if you can throw light in terms of the opportunity size for our B2C business, where we are currently, what needs to be done over next 3-4 years to up the business from the B2C division significantly? So could it form a significant part of our business going forward? Because probably the margins there are better, stickiness of the customers are better, and with the distribution network, I think we can penetrate more. So if you can just explain better those lines.
Look, our strategy in the B2C business has been to focus on our strengths, which is polymers, so we're backward integrated. And so a lot of the products for the B2C market that we are focusing on are the polymers that we manufacture and some that we understand, we're outsourcing, and so we have a basket of products. We are slowly building a distribution network. So earlier we were only in Bombay, we moved it to Maharashtra, now we're in 4 or 5 states. Within the 4 or 5 states, we are working with more, you know, distributors to distribute our products. So as of now, we are growing organically, and we have been growing at perhaps about, you know, 20% a year for the last few years. Barring the, you know, 1 year in COVID, one and a half year in COVID, which was difficult. So we plan to continue to grow that. As a total value of the business, it's still a very small percentage of, you know, overall Aquatex revenue. Over time, over 5-10 years, you know, we expect it to play a more significant role in terms of profitability and then valuation at the right point. Because it's, you know, there the business is a little different from the B2B business. So building takes a while. Building the brand, building distribution networks takes time.
Correct. But sir, can this business, so whether the thought process within the company is that could this business be scaled up to 300, 400 crores of size within the time limits what you mentioned upon, or it's too ambitious?
Unlikely. No, that is too ambitious. I don't think that will be 300, 400 crores in the next three to four years.
No, I'm not talking about 3-4 years. I'm talking about the 5-10 years of the time period what you mentioned, where we can...
Yeah, we have, you know, we don't talk about it too much because it's an internal, it's a smaller business, and for competitive or proprietary reasons, we are not talking about the numbers of that business.
Correct.
Seeing any numbers or... You know, we obviously we are in it because we think it will play a significant role to diversify the business. It's a good opportunity. We can be backward integrated. We understand the market. And so we hope that it plays a significant role in the, you know, overall business, either in terms of revenue or profit or EBITDA. That's your endeavor, of course. Can we move on if you don't mind, Nirav?
Fine. I'll join back in.
We have other people. Thank you. Opportunity.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Khetan from Smith's Institutional. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for the opportunity. So my first question was, so what was the utilization level we clocked for nitrile latex in first quarter, and what is our target for the full fiscal?
So for the first quarter, our utilization level was approximately 30%. 30% plus minus. Somewhere around there. And obviously, every quarter we are looking to increase that. And so we hope by the end of the fourth quarter, we would be at, you know, 70-80% capacity utilization for that quarter. The average for the fiscal may be only 40-50%, but I must say that in the first quarter itself, we've exceeded both for nitrile latex as well as for our other products, you know, where we had built capacity. our FB latex and for paper, carpet, construction, textile, and so on. So we're quite happy, and we're both plants are at about, I think, 30% or so. Satin, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's around 25 to 30%, right?
Yes, 25 to 30%.
Okay, okay. And sir, we have taken also inventory losses into this quarter. So the complete impact that has been taken away and the in terms of per kilo margins, so can we take a call that we are standing at the bottom, or there is more room for inventory losses, or things can go wrong and there could be further downside into the per kilo margin?
Yeah, so I'm glad you asked that question. So there are two, three reasons, you know. I mean, exactly about a year ago, it was the other way around. Perfect storm. About a year ago, you know, there was a lot of tailwind. There was, because of the supply chain disruption, the issues with China, you know, freight rates were very high. So as Apcotex is a company, because 50% of our products are imported, the competition only, we benefited from that. Now, sort of, and prices were going up still, raw petrochemical and finished goods prices. Now we're in a, so to speak, this quarter at least, where we have seen raw material prices crash. And frankly, earlier, Q4 and Q3, we had a lot of stock that we had overbought, you know, raw materials at that time because of supply chain issues. In beginning of Q1, we had pretty much exhausted all of that. And we had sort of normal levels of inventory, but the drop for some reason has been so sharp and so unexpected in the last quarter that even with regular stock, we've had to, you know, bear with these inventory losses. To answer your question, yes, it continues into Q2. It's a little bit recent, but in the last week or 10 days, I would say things have seemed to have bottomed out. But I think it's too early to say we have to wait for another couple of weeks. But, you know, it was still dropping as of July. So it's difficult to predict when. If you were to ask me, in my opinion, there's not much left to go below. It's really, some of our petrochemical raw materials are the lowest that I have seen in many years. You know, even some of them below COVID, if you believe it or not, when the first COVID wave hit. So it's unbelievable.
Got it. So just one last question, sir. Considering our nitrile latex business, when it runs at full utilization level, and since this product is majorly for catering the export market, so this mix of 30% of exports, how much this can shift at peak utilization when nitrile latex will run? Can this go to around 45-50% or?
Over the next 5 years, you know, obviously we are going to grow the domestic market as well, where we have high market share in all our products, but that will grow at some clip. We are adding new products for the domestic market as well. But yes, we think, you know, with nitrile latex and some of the other products that we are pushing, you know, we're still pushing with some customers, there, at the peak, I think we had worked out about 40 to 45% of our overall sales should come from export.
Got it, sir.
So
thank you, sir.
4 or 5 years later.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, I'd like to remind all participants to please limit your question to 2 per participant. You may come back in the question queue if you have a follow-up. The next question is from the line of Bhavya Sonawala from Samasa Capital. Please go ahead.
Oh, yeah, so thank you for the opportunity. Hope I'm audible.
Yes, absolutely. Go ahead, Bhavya.
Yeah, so basically, I mean, just looking at our customers and competitor commentary that, you know, Top Club had closed 17 factories temporarily, and Synthoma also had a kind of guidance that nothing is getting better in at least 1 or 2 quarter in terms of inventory pileup. So how are we seeing the situation right now? What is our, you know, take on the current market? If you can just throw some light on it, it would be great.
No, I mean, I think very similar. As of now, at least for the next 1 or 2 quarters for nitrile latex, it doesn't look like margins are going to improve. However, as you can see, some of the capacities that were added, both at least the glove capacities, there is some shutdown happening. So hopefully with, you know, some, again, normalizing at some point, things should return. I know from the way we are looking at it is that our nitrile and latex margins are well below pre-COVID levels, maybe one-fourth of pre-COVID levels. When I say margins, contribution margins at the gross margin level. And obviously like one-tenth of what they were during COVID levels, but let's assume that's negative. And also compared to our other products, you know, they're much lower. So at some point it has to correct. Supply-demand will correct itself. Unfortunately, we came in at a time, our plant, new plant came in at a time when, you know, the market is at the bottom. It has been for the last 6-8 months or more. And it's expected to be, as you said, from the commentary that some of our customers like Top Gloves and others have been given and some of our competitors as well. I don't think we have any different view. So our focus is, though, focus on, since our capacity is quite small, you know, 50,000 tons, and we're already doing, as I said, about 30% in the first quarter of commissioning the plant, which I think is a fantastic job that the team has done. So we hope to continue to improve that, focus on improving our capacity utilization, our market share, and at the time when it turns, you know, we'll be there in the market. And there are a lot of opportunities, not only in Southeast Asia and with some of the big customers, but in South Asia and Sri Lanka, India, some opportunities have arisen with specialty products in the West, in Turkey, Europe. So we are now focusing not only on Southeast Asia, but other markets as well.
Okay, understood. So that was really helpful. So just one more question that I had was, is the medical glove market growing irrespective of what's happening on the inventory side? Is there any degrowth or it's growing at a lenient level, if you can have any sense on that?
So the way to think about growth is the way, I mean, I'm ignoring 2021-22, right? Calendar year 2021-22. Because that was a blip. All medical, whether it was gloves or masks or everything else, you know, demand was through the roof. So obviously, compared to those numbers, you can't count growth. But if you look at 2019 and then try and draw a line, yeah, absolutely. All at least for gloves, I can tell you, there are two. One is that, you know, the quality of healthcare and the awareness of personal protective equipment in Asia is really almost at the bottom. That only can go up. And in America and Europe, yes, it's a mature market, so that's growing. So that's, I'm talking about gloves overall. But within gloves also, there's natural latex gloves and nitrile gloves. Now, because of the availability issues, uncertainty of availability, plus the protein allergies in the West, you know, issues of, around those things, the market is moving from natural latex gloves to nitrile latex gloves. It has been moving for the last many years, 7, 8, 10 years, but that continues to move. So as a result of which, nitrile latex gloves are growing at a faster clip than overall, you know, other PPE markets. So we continue to remain bullish. All reports show that, you know, growth over a 10-year period for nitrile gloves worldwide.
Okay, understood. And will we stick to the 200 crore guidance from the new capacity?
Sorry, what is that 200 crore number?
No, I'm saying we expected, I think, 200 crores from new capacities coming in this year.
Revenue?
In terms of...
In terms of revenue, you're talking about?
Revenue, yeah.
Well, look, I don't want to give annual guidance. Yes, we have certain targets, but overall, we're looking at about, you know, 600 to 700 crores from the investments that have been made.
Okay.
So, understood. At 100% capacity utilization.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants to please limit your question to 2 per participants only. The next question is from the line of Aditya from Securities Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So if you could quantify the inventory loss for this quarter?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, I think we would have lost about almost or around 3% EBITDA because of the inventory losses this quarter.
Okay, got it, sir. And so what was the QOQ decline in the raw material prices for us?
Good question. So, of course, as you know, we have multiple raw materials, I am just trying to find you those data. But for the quarter, I would say between March and June, depending on the raw materials, anywhere between 10 and 30%. So some of our, one of our major ones was almost 30% across over the quarter. And if you take a 4 month, including July, it's even more, in, you know, 18 and 40, 45% or something like that. So it's a big drop. It's one of the biggest drops we've ever seen in a such a short period of time in a quarter. It has happened in the past as well, but it's very, very, very rare. So while we have, you know, what we look at as regular stock gains and losses, maybe plus minus 1% here or there, this has been obviously much steeper than what would be a sort of average or normal.
But, sir, any specific reason why we are seeing such a sharp decrease? Because the crude has remained stable for the last 1 to 2 quarters. So any particular
Absolutely. Reason? So we were surprised as well. So there are a couple of reasons. One is, at least in from March, it was, frankly, for us also internally, we didn't expect this kind of drop because we thought, you know, post-COVID, the prices had already come down a little and stabilized for 1 or 2 quarters. And then suddenly to see this happening after March, especially when crude was around the same, you know, it's been around $70, $80 for the last 3-4 months. So one reason is China. They're saying China post-COVID, you know, the kind of pull that was expected has not happened. And as a result of which, these commodities that we buy, at least for us, our petrochemicals, and I can't speak for every, but I hear a lot of them also, because of China's slowdown, that was unexpected, and therefore there's been a sharp drop. And then, of course, the news, and that also has had an impact, you know, on the demand of, for these raw materials. So as a result of which, sudden crash has happened.
Got it, sir. And so if you could just help us explain what is happening in the NBR market. So are we seeing higher imports from the players in South Korea?
Yeah, look, we are seeing imports as well. But NBRC, again, NBR is it's a little bit of a cyclical commodity market. Unlike our latex products, which are, you know, not easy to store, not easy to transport, with NBR, and NBR you can store anywhere, you know, it's a synthetic rubber, you can store it for 6 months, 1 year. So what we have seen is because prices, raw material prices have come down, there is also destocking happening, which typically doesn't happen in latex products, but in rubber products, that can happen. People don't want, you know, so they run at very low inventories, so there is an amount of destocking. So therefore, demand itself has been pretty poor in China, in India. When I say demand, I don't mean final consumption demand. I mean selling or buying of the product right now for the last 2-3 months. But that's turning now in Q2. We see it turning now going forward because it's kind of bottomed out. And sometimes it's a, you know, prices are coming down, demand reduces, therefore prices are coming down. Of that cycle continues for 2-3 months till it kind of bottoms out, you know. So volumes and margins have been quite challenging for NBR in the last quarter, for sure.
Got it, sir. And, sir, and what is happening in the synthetic latex business, excluding the nitrile latex for the domestic market? Because you have mentioned that we have seen some weakness in the paper segment. So if you could just elaborate, what is happening over there?
Yeah, look, I think weakness in the sense there has been not much this quarter. We have not grown in the paper segment. That's what we mean by demand. We have added capacity, our competitor has added capacity, so there is a little bit of, you know, market share sort of grappling going on as a result of it. Margins in paper especially have been a little lower. But I don't think the weak demand has not resulted in lower volume. And whereas the other segments, construction, carpet, textiles, we have seen growth in volume, both domestic. So that's the nuance. But yeah, I mean, there the business is going reasonably well. Besides the stock or inventory losses that we've had, there's no major issue.
And just so one last question. So in the annual report, we have mentioned that we have completed a rebranding exercise to effectively communicate what Apcotex stands for. So if you could just specify what is this rebranding exercise?
So a couple of things we have done. So, you know, it's been 7 years since we acquired OMNI. Modified the logo a little bit, we have defined our values in our company. We have started social media marketing, which we were not doing earlier. And so please, I'd encourage all of you to follow us on LinkedIn. Ascotex is a page, and we're quite active now on LinkedIn, which we weren't earlier. So that's what we mean. Rebranding and sort of social media campaign. We have, revamped our brochure. I'd encourage all of you to support us and follow us.
Sure. Thank you. That was helpful. I'll join back in the
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dheeral from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I wanted to know how our contract, work with our customers. So is it like a monthly contract or a quarterly contract? Because whatever raw material, price fall which we have seen, so are we going to benefit from that?
No, on the contrary, we're not benefiting from it because we have two types of pricing. One is formula pricing, which is based on some published rate of raw materials. Sachin, what percentage, about 25 to 30% are on formula price customers, from what I recall? So around sort of monthly spot pricing. So what typically happens is when, there's weakness in the market and prices are falling, we're forced to correct our prices on the first of every month because that's the industry norm. Typically on the first of every month, us and all our competitors issue our pricing list for the month, but we are still stuck with some amount of high cost material, raw material and finished goods, because we have to work with some kind of inventory. So that's where the inventory losses come in, and that's been the problem this quarter. So it doesn't benefit us. Where it benefits us is when things start going up, and then we may have some stock gains also. So typically, as I said, look, stock gains and stock losses generally doesn't make a difference of more than 1% a quarter, but in this quarter itself, we've had a pretty large hit up to about 3%, because the drop has been very sharp and constant over a period of 3 months. Sometimes we see a drop for 1 month and then, flattening out or rising also in the third month.
Okay.
Between March and June.
Okay, so whatever, drop in the prices, what we have seen, that we have to compulsory pass on to the customer.
Absolutely.
Okay. And so lastly, on the CAPEX part, whatever CAPEX we have done till date, so what will drive the next leg of growth in the company, sir?
So as of now, we have just completed a CAPEX of 100 crores over the last year or two. So we're more in the consolidation phase, and what we have is enough for the next couple of years. So we're just consolidating right now, watching our cash flows, debt levels. In the meanwhile, we've completed the detailed engineering and budgeting for expanding our NBR business, where we are trying to double detail engineering, but we're trying to see, now we're working at sort of advanced stages to see how we can reduce the CapEx cost and investment cost. At the same time, there is enough work going on in terms of selling this additional capacity that we've just invested in. So one area of growth is the NBR business. The second area of growth is that as and when the nitrile latex market turns in terms of margins, at a minimal investment, we can further expand volumes by about 60%. So that's another area. And the third area is, of course, growing with our current sets of businesses. And we can always invest again in our, expanding our current set of businesses. And the fourth is we are looking at new products, new opportunities, which are very different from, our current sets of products. So at the right time, as and when we have something concrete. Thank you,
Nita. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Khetan from Smith Institutional. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the follow-up. Then the question was, so this 30% utilization figure which we had given for this first quarter, this is on a capacity of 85,000, right?
This is on an annual capacity. Yes. So The quarterly capacity is one fourth that, so let's say about 21,000, and then 30% of that, yeah.
So despite we have started one of the big projects of nitrile latex, our employee cost has on quarter-on-quarter basis has declined by 4%. There should be a rise in employee cost considering we have started taking the volumes and numbers into our financials. So why that has declined?
I think one reason, I mean, Sachin perhaps can answer this better, but one reason is in Q4 of last year, you know, a lot of our bonuses and variable pay was sort of included in that. I would have to go back and check. Other than that, I don't see any reason for decline. And don't forget, we had already recruited all these people, obviously, before the plant started. So the only thing I can think of is a variable pay component, which generally hits the March quarter, which is doesn't hit the Q1 quarter. Sachin, anything else I'm missing why it would decline?
No, perfect. I think that's the reason.
Yeah. So
you might have recruited them early, but you will account for the numbers when you have started accounting for the volume, right?
Sorry, we'll have to check. What do you mean account for the numbers? Because they had already joined us, so they were part of the employee cost anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And some of them at that point were working because the plant had not started. They were working in our other current plant. Those kinds of things. I mean, it's been going on for the previous 6-8 months. So they were part of the employee cost. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of. There may have been some. Sometimes we also have some provisions made that are written back or something, but that may be minor, I don't think. But it's not a big issue, yeah.
Got it. So currently, sir, what the issue with the chemical industry, what they are facing, is the weakness in demand into US and Europe. So out of our total exports, sir, how much will US and Europe will contribute to the total export sale? And what is the outlook currently like what you are experiencing?
Sachin, would you have it? But my sense is not more than 10-15% is Europe and US for us. And that's why, as you can see, we have seen a 22% volume growth overall. Our exports have, in fact, grown by 110%. Frankly, we have not seen any loss as a company. But you are right. US and especially Europe, I would say, more than the US. Europe has definitely seen a tough few months in terms of volume demand, and that's what I hear for other companies. But ours is not significant amount. It's, I think, less than 10%. Sachin, do you have the number with you ready? Or?
I need to check, but yeah, it is in the range of 5-10%.
Yeah, that's what I would venture a guess, Aditya.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Sinodia from Smart Sync Services. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I just wanted to know what is the percentage of our revenue from NBR today? Roughly, not exact.
I mean, look, I don't have today, meaning for the quarter, we don't get quarterly numbers. So I can tell you broadly, obviously this quarter there's been a change. Come from not NBR, from other latexes, nitrile latex and other SB latex for carpet construction and so on. But I would say about probably around 30%. I don't, plus minus couple of percent. I will have to look the exact number.
In the last year, same quarter, we were at the same level, 30 to 35%. So I was expecting it to come down.
Yeah. So it may be 35% last year, 30% now.
And given the
exact number.
Okay, no problem. So, given the growth we are seeing in the other segment, how do we see our product mix going forward, say, in the next couple of quarters, or maybe 3-4 quarters down the line? If you can give some broad guidance.
A large chunk of the growth is going to come from the latex products, nitrile latex, and styrene butadiene latex, styrene acrylic latexes, and so on. Growth is going to come from there. But even NBR, we are expecting a growth because we have done some debottlenecking recently. So, which I had not announced earlier, but to the extent of another, 15-20%, we should be able to. We're working out the exact numbers because we were able to free up a lot of the capacity since nitrile latex now has moved into its own new plant. So at both the sites, we have some extra capacity for other products. So We're working out those exact numbers, so but a large chunk of the growth will come from the latex product and minor from NBR.
And related to NBR, as in, do we see any dumping risk anytime now?
Any, sorry, can you repeat?
Do we see any dumping risk here in India, which we faced in 2019?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's that a risk is always there because it's, you know, as I said, it's store product. China is really the main consumer of NBR. So anytime we see China demand slowing down, we see dumping meaning much lower margins than the, when I define dumping, it's much lower prices or margins than the average that you would see over a period of 5-7 years. And it happens from various countries, you know, from mainly Korea, Russia, those are the two. Sometimes China, but we don't.
Yeah, last question is related to asset, and I find it very difficult to foresee what kind of asset turn we may have in FY24 and maybe FY25. Can you give some broad guidance? Maybe not exact number, but some broad guidance. Because FY22 was 6 times, and then it has fallen 50% from there in FY23. So,
yeah,
any guidance?
But look, anytime you commission a new project from a balance sheet perspective, and in our case, you know, we had expansion for many years. So until FY22, all our assets were, you know, pretty much written down or, you know, lower. And suddenly you have this large chunk of 200, 250 crores coming in 1 year, as a result of which, and the volume hasn't picked up that much. And therefore, asset turn is lower in that one shot. Same thing happens with ROCE, for example, ROCE numbers. So when you look at asset turn numbers and ROCE numbers of our company or any other company, where there is a sudden loss made in 1 year, you will see that the following 1 or 2 years, numbers like asset turn and ROC will be lower. And then over the period of 4-5 years, 3 to 4 years, it will go back to, you know, the original level. So, yeah, that's my, I don't have a guidance for this year.
But I mean, on a longer term perspective, you expect it to go towards 5 to 6 times.
5 times, yeah, absolutely. Now, 6 times may have also been, you know, towards the end of our, or that's at the end of our, not end of the capex, how do I put it? Just before the start of our capex cycle it was. So a lot of our assets were anyway depreciated to a large extent. We did not have major investments in the last 4-5 years. So 6 also may have been too high, but yeah, at least 5. 4 to 5 we expect it to go back to.
Yeah, one last question regarding EBITDA per ton. I know that you don't disclose the exact number, but directionally, if you can just let us know where we were 1 year from now, where we are today, and directionally, how do we see?
Yeah, it's much lower. It's much lower for, again, 3 or 4 reasons I've given, but I'll repeat them again. One is the inventory losses for this quarter. The second is overall margins in NBR have especially NBR, have been very low. Number three, the growth that has come from nitrile latex is done. And number four, the tailwinds that we had 1 year ago are gone now. You know, they're not there. They haven't been there in Q3 and Q4 of last year as well. But Q1 and Q2, we had them. As I said, the freight advantage that we had for our competitors' products that were imported. So as a result of which, EBITDA per ton is probably, you know, maybe half of, it's similar, you know, our EBITDA has fallen by 45%, EBITDA percentage. So EBITDA per ton would have also, has also fallen by around the similar numbers.
Okay. That's it for my side. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Tej Kumar Pandya from Ganesh Stocks. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Pandya.
Achha, first thing is, I'm thoroughly disappointed. Your the finance cost from the and your depreciation and amortization cost from the last quarter has increased tremendously. Finance cost has gone up from 58 lakhs to 363 lakhs, and the amortization has gone up from 468 lakhs to 738 lakhs. Why is so much of depreciation, increase in depreciation and finance cost?
Mr. Pandya, in fact, I don't know if you were in a call con call, the last con call that we had, where I had mentioned that please expect higher depreciation and finance costs for going forward. Simple reason is that we have commissioned two projects worth about more than 200 crores in the month of March, or around Feb March in Q4 of last year. And therefore, the depreciation of those projects and the loan that was taken to partly finance those projects, all those start hitting the P&L from Q1 of this year. So you can expect depreciation and interest this going forward for the next few years, next few quarters, to be at these levels. Of course, as we repay the loan from next year, interest amount will come down, but depreciation will be high for a few quarters.
But this should help you in increasing your turnover from 1,000 crore a year to something about 1,500 crores. Is that fair?
Yes, absolutely. But our turnover, as I explained to one of the previous callers, that our volumes have gone up by 22%. But as a result of the decline in raw material prices, overall our realizations have come down by 30%. Therefore, it looks like our turnover has come down by 9%, which is true. But please don't look at our turnover only in terms of, you know, that will correct depending on our raw material prices and business that we are in, where there is a huge volatility in turnover.
Thank you so much. But I hope that turnover and top line and bottom line will increase and help your shareholders will gain from it.
Our endeavor is always to increase our bottom line. Top line will depend on what's happening with the raw material prices and the oil prices. But
bottom line is more important. Absolutely. Bottom line is more important. So that based on that, we get our dividend.
Absolutely, Mr. Pandya. Thank you. Thank you for
that. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya from Securities Investment Management. Before that, I'd like to remind participants, if you have a question, please press star then one. Thank you.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the follow-up. So in March quarter, we had a revenue of 255 crores, which was coming from our old facilities. So considering a 15% realization drop, we would have done 220 crores from old facilities. So would that mean we would have done around 55 to 60 crores coming from our new facilities? Would that be a correct understanding?
Sorry, but I don't have the Q4 versus Q1 numbers with me right now. But yeah, it would be very similar, Aditya, because, you know, from what I recall, our volumes across the last were pretty much flat because we were running at 100% capacity utilization for all of last year. So between Q1 and Q4 of FY23. Now, in Q1 of FY24, we have gone up by 22% volume terms compared to Q1 of last year, corresponding quarter of last year. Sachin, would you have this number with you? What's our percentage growth compared to Q4? But I mean, I would assume it's about the same, maybe a little higher or 24%. Sachin, are you there? Do you have it?
Hello.
Yes, can hear you now.
Yes. What's
the increase in terms of volume compared to Q4?
It's in the same range.
Same range, that's what I thought.
Yeah, it's in the same range.
Got it. So what I was trying to get at was the revenue from a new facility is around 55 to 60 crores in this quarter.
Let's talk in percentage. As you said, it's about the same. I don't have the numbers in front of me, and sorry about that, but I know it's a 20-25% growth in volume.
Sure. And so, the new facility in Taloja, where our capacity is 30,000, we could have expanded that capacity, but we are waiting for some environmental clearance. So have we received the same?
Sorry, say that again.
Our Taloja facility, capacity was 30,000 metric ton for the nitrile latex, but we converted it to synthetic latex. But we could have expanded that capacity by, I think, around 20,000 to 25,000 tons, but we are waiting for some environmental clearance for the same.
No. So it was about 10,000. Initially, when we invested, it was 10,000 tons of nitrile latex. Then when we latex market was going to be challenging for a few quarters, and the demand for our current product really took us by surprise, especially exports. Therefore, we converted that facility while we were investing in the project last year to also manufacture our current products of styrene butadiene latex, styrene acrylic latex, and a capacity of about 35,000 tons. So 10,000 became 35,000 tons. And you are right, we had permission to make up to 10,000 tons, which is what we have done in Q1. Now we expect the final to go above 10,000 tons. We expect that to happen in the next couple of months. So we have been running that at about 10,000 tons full capacity, which is about 25 to 30% capacity utilization, which is what we mentioned in the earlier. Is that clear?
Got it, sir.
Complicated, but I hope it's clear.
Yeah, got it, sir. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Atman Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Abhiraj. My question is related to investments of shares which you have in your portfolio. Now, isn't it the right time to usually keep selling everything with the market also at its all-time high? And we can use the money to reduce the debt or use it for more strategic purpose. I know...
Sorry, Atman, you were saying something. Your last part of the question, I can't hear you anymore.
Yeah, hello. Yeah, so my question was related to the investments of shares which you have in your portfolio in the balance sheet. Now, with the stock market also at its all-time high, and isn't it a good time to maybe gradually reduce the portfolio and use the money for your next leg of expansion as well as use it to reduce the debt?
Yeah, look, we debate this very often as well. There are a couple of ways to look at it. So the way we have looked at it is, number one, we don't time the market. I mean, we never know. So our treasury is something that we keep on the side. And invested about 70-75% is equity and about 25-30% is debt, depending on, you know, obviously recently there has been a run-up, so equity percentage has gone up. So we will keep making those tweaks in terms of debt-equity ratio for our treasury. But we have specifically taken a call to keep some amount in treasury. Today, the value of our treasury is 100 crores against a term loan that we have of about 125. Right? We can immediately make the term loan close to zero and use our entire treasury. But what we have found in the past is, you know, having some amount of treasury fund is important because there are times when, you know, even let's say if you want to expand immediately into some other area, you know, banks will fund us only to a certain percentage. Some of the others have some internal accruals and our savings. And so for that reason, or sometimes there's an acquisition opportunity where you really have to put the money down on the table immediately. So as a result of which 100 crores in our current context of the company's total market capitalization, total revenue is we feel a fair amount. At the right time, if we feel the treasury amount is much more than we would need, then we will tweak it. And we did. In the last few quarters, some of the treasury for some of our capex investments. But largely, we want to keep that strategically. And since we are long-term investors, we're not touching it. We try and maintain this ratio of about, you know, 70-30 equity to equity and debt.
Okay. Okay, fine.
That's been the philosophy.
Okay. Okay.
Fine. And we don't time the market. We don't try and get in.
No. My question was not about more about timing. I'm saying like now that you've done this capex.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Markets are looking good. Why don't you come out of it? This is timing, right?
No, not that way. Now that you have like you have a major capex done and you have. But also, and you spoke about next leg of expansion also, right? 3 or 4 areas. So that money not invested in the shares and just keep it liquid. Of course, repay a little bit debt will be more strategic and will be more helpful, right?
The different views, as I said, that's been our philosophy. But yeah, at the right time, as and when required, we will do that. Absolutely. If we require, if when we decide to go ahead with expansion or if there's an acquisition opportunity, we will use this cash immediately for it.
Right. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. And I've also given an example. I don't know if you were there in my previous con calls. One of the reasons why we, 7 years ago when we acquired, this plant or this company, one of the reasons was the company that was selling the selling wanted to see if we had cash in hand.
And we said
we did, and we literally closed the deal in 2 weeks because of that opportunity. And some of the other people who are eyeing that business could not because of that reason.
Okay.
There are strategic advantages, which are hard to, quantify on a year off. But if you look at a long-term basis, now that investment has given us, multiples of return,
Okay.
And we could only do that because we had the treasury at that time.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Atma.
Thank you. Yeah. The next question is from the line of Nirav Jamodia from Anvil. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again, sir. So just wanted to understand, like you mentioned that exports form 31% of our total sales in 1Q. If you can disclose the volume terms, like in terms of volumes, how it was. So the breakup in terms of our domestic volumes as well as the export volumes in the Q1.
So domestic and export volumes. So export volumes overall, so we don't give volume numbers,
no,
as I've said many times in the past. Yeah, so export volumes have grown by 110%. I think mentioned that in his opening remarks as well.
That's fine. So that I understand. But in terms of our overall mix, so let's say if we have sold 100 tons in Q1, which forms 278 crores of sales, how was the volume breakup in terms of the export as well as the domestic? So was export 22% in terms of the overall volumes, which contributed to
So we have given 21% as 31% is in value terms. You want it in volume terms, what is the percentage? Okay, got it. But ready with you, what is it in terms of volume terms, percentage of revenue, or percentage of total volume? Sorry, not percentage of revenue.
Yeah. Okay.
I can tell you, actually. Hang on. It's about, one second. Sachin, you have that number, but I think it's about 35%.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yes.
So
yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, in volume terms, it's a little higher, 34-35%.
Okay. And if you can share for FY23 as a whole, that would be very helpful, sir.
You're asking difficult questions. Okay, you know, I have all these numbers.
Okay.
FY23 would have been about 23. I mean, I think from what I recall, value terms, it was about 20-21%.
Correct.
So volume terms would have been 2-3-4% higher, 2-3% higher, 24-20%.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it, sir.
Again, I'm venturing a guess, but this is what I guess. You have the numbers.
Just a rough figure.
Yeah, it's a rough figure because the volume is a little bit higher than the value. Let's put it that way, generally, because of the product mix.
Correct.
Of export.
Why I ask is, let's say if our volumes also are growing in the export market with some higher realizations, that would probably take us our overall sales to 40-45% at that point of time, because then realizations depends upon our raw material prices also. So it's better to track volumes rather than percentage sales at that point of time.
Sure.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference back to the management for any closing remarks.
Thank you, everyone, for joining the Q1 conference call of Apcotex Industries Limited. We look forward to again seeing you in Q2. Just to summarize, I want to mention it's been a difficult quarter for us on 2-3 fronts. Raw material price sharply resulting in inventory losses, margins in some of our products also falling sharply, irrespective of the raw material prices coming down. In general, it's been difficult. Especially in NBR and to some extent in the paper industry as well, where we supply our binders or polymers there. In the long term, we continue to walk on the and our target. The silver lining is, of course, the 22% growth in volume. So we're focusing on volumes and market share and increasing our geographic breadth and depth with each customer. And we look forward to seeing you again in Q2 now. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Apcotex Industries Limited, we conclude today's conference. Thank you all for joining. You may now disconnect your lines.